Yeah. Good morning. Welcome to St. Andrew Lutheran Church, especially if you're a visitor with us today. We're really glad that you're here. We hope you hear something that encourages you or inspires you in your life. A special welcome to Corbin Allen, who brought his whole family with him, all of his friends, as he's baptized today. We're so thankful that you're here and for Corbin's witness in your life, but in our lives too. So it's truly a celebration. A couple of announcements that are just a little bit more logistical. One is that the address of the church has changed with some of the new Marathon County addressing. And so just please make note of that. It's in your bulletin. And if your address has changed, please let us know. We have these pink cards on the information desk. If you'd like to update your record, you can just leave them there for Joy, and she will make sure that we stay in touch with you. Also, the next quarter for Christ in Our Home is out. This is a really great way to just dip your big toe in the scriptures every day. If you're looking for something small that feels doable to just immerse yourself in God's Word, it's a really good tool that we have that we are glad to share with as many people as possible. So please feel free to take one because it's October this week, which is weird, but also good, I suppose, because that means life is continuing. So we have a note of celebration. Tia McGuire and Josh Daly were married in a beautiful ceremony on top of Rib Mountain yesterday. They're newer members of St. Andrew, and please keep them in your prayers as we wish God's blessing for their life together. And then there is a dart ball announcement. If you're on the dart ball team, on Monday evening, it's not dart ball versus Good Shepherd. It's dart ball versus St. Michael's, and the game is at St. Michael's. So if you have any questions about that, you can see Jerry, who's over here, and he will clarify things for you. Lastly, a word of sympathy. Pastor Jeff Martinson is a visitation pastor here, and oftentimes if you're hospitalized, he might be the first face from St. Andrew that you see. His father passed away, Harland Martinson. So please keep Pastor Jeff in your prayers and his mother, Martha, as she kind of copes with her new reality. There are not plans for services yet, but please just keep him close in your prayers. Today in the scriptures, especially in the gospel lesson, we have this wonderful conversation that happens in the form of a parable. It's an odd parable because it's a chat between Father Abraham and a rich man. And Abraham is in heaven, and the rich man is in Hades, which is Greek. In Hebrew, it's Sheol. And in English, it's hell. So there's a conversation between heaven and hell in the gospel for today. And it's a conversation, a commentary on the things that divide us. And so as you listen your way through, I would encourage you in the hymns or in the scriptures to really listen for where God is building bridges across the chasms that you experience in life. And we'll dwell on that a little bit more in the sermon. But first, we have a wonderful call to worship. We're so thankful for the bells that you're back in action. The song is called Chatter with the Angels for various reasons because, well, you'll have to listen for yourself. But, Al, I'll pass it up to you.
This is mostly to the song this morning, Chatter with the Angels is the name of the game. And what I want you to do is imagine what would they be talking about as we're playing. And you're going to see, hear some of them walking on the street. You'll hear that a little bit. And put your imagination into the song, Chattering with the Angels.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Let's stand together and join in the confession and forgiveness, which is in the back side, in the back cover of your hymnal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, recognizing our need for God's mercy, let us confess our sin and seek reconciliation with God and each other. God of justice and compassion, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not been faithful stewards of your creation. We have failed to share the bounty of your harvest with the poor and needy. Forgive our sin, increase our faith, strengthen us in service, and bring us to everlasting life. Heaven rejoices when a sinner repents and a lost sheep is found. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We join together in singing to God hymn 858. We use setting 8 for Holy Communion today, which begins on page 185, the small numbers at the bottom of the page on the front of the hymnal. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world. Feed us with your grace and grant us the treasure that comes only from you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I would invite the children forward for a message. You guys can have a seat. I'll come down here and look at you. Come on down. It's so good to see all of you again today. Thank you for being here, for coming, and for your willingness to grow and learn about your faith and God's love by coming to church with your family. I want to talk to you a little bit about what makes you sing. What makes your heart beat? What makes your breath go in and out of your lungs? What gives you a certain amount of joy? And to do that, I want to show you something. And actually, Jack's going to show you something. He's got this big bell. Do you see what's in there? It's a big, kind of like a mallet inside the bell. It's called a clapper, right?
Yep.
A clapper. A clapper. So it's in there, and he's going to ring it. And he's ringing it kind of soft right now. Can you ring it louder? Can you ring it really loud? It's going to ring for quite some time. It's still going. You hear it? What happens if you put it on your chest? Stops. Now he's got this chime, and it's got a different kind of mallet, and it's going to sound really different. And it's going to go for quite some time. That sounds really different than that, doesn't it? It's just a different kind of clapper. It's a different kind of mallet on a different kind of bell. Now Ryan's over here, and he's got one in here, and it's got this little clapper in it. What do you think that's going to sound like when he rings it? It's a high pitch because it's a smaller bell. So he's going to ring it for us. Can you ring it loud? And that would go for a while if we let it, right? Can you hear it still? Get really quiet. See if you can hear it. Can you hear it? It's still ringing. And he's got another one that's a little bit bigger with a hammer in there. Can he just ring it? So what if you rang all of them together? Might not be a chord. Let's see. Oh, it is a chord. Whoa. You guys are good. Thank you, Al, for premeditating the chord. I'm certain that was you. We didn't talk about that. That was just like, that's just that man over there. Yeah.
Why don't we try ringing the big bell in the front and see how that
sounds? The big bell outside, too? The big bell outside is actually a bell that rings. And when that bell rings, what do you think it means? It means that we're meeting here, right? We don't always ring it every Sunday, but sometimes we ring it if we're meeting here. And we want everybody to know that God is present and with us. But inside of each of you is something like that clapper. And it makes you ring. And some of you are small bells and some of you are bigger bells. You all have different gifts and skills and abilities. And it's God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that gives you that beautiful sound. And when we ring them together, it's pretty awesome, isn't it? It's what happens when everybody in the church comes and participates in the life that we have here together. And it's the Holy Spirit that allows us to make such beautiful music. And some things that we can do together to make beautiful music are do things like come to Sunday school and learn. We can do things like help other people in the community that are cold. We can help make them warm. We can give hungry people food. And what that does is it helps them to sing too. So let's hear the bells one more time, and then we'll have a prayer, okay? Pretty good. The Lord be with you. Gracious God, thank you for the gift of a song and for your Spirit that helps to make us sing. Be with these children now as they learn more about you. Strengthen their life of faith and the love that they have to share in this world, that we might sing your song of grace for all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. You guys can head to Sunday school or back to your pew, whichever it is that you do. Thanks for being here. As we transition, I would invite the congregation to turn to Psalm 146. you turn the hymnal to the side, you'll find the stripes. That's the psalm section. We'll read 146 responsively by whole verse. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals in whom there is no help. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and the widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. A reading from 1 Timothy. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. And as for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you. The Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' Then he said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon, our feet were marking prints in the fallen snow, and my friend and I stood there and we felt so small. If you've been to the Grand Canyon, you know the feeling. You feel so small in contrast to the creation that's around you that's so majestic. The surface on the earth has so many different forms and shapes and colors. In the early 19th century, most European scientists actually believed that volcanoes and earthquakes were the primary forces that created the landscape around us. From the highest mountains to the deepest valleys to the vast open spaces that lie in between, they were quite convinced that it was the seismic activity in the world that was creating all of creation's majesty. But in 1858, an American geologist by the name of John Newberry changed that thinking after he arrived in the Grand Canyon on a surveying expedition for the U.S. government. At the time of his arrival at the Grand Canyon, it didn't even appear on many maps. It was a part of a region that had literally been written off, simply known as the Great Unknown. Newberry was the first scientist ever to descend to the canyon floor. And when he got there, he looked around. And what he proposed was that it was the river itself, the Colorado River, not seismic activity, that had carved out the canyon. This was a radical theory for the 19th century, because if that was true, then the water of the Colorado River carved out the canyon from rock, which would mean that the earth had to be much, much older than most people imagined. About 6 million years ago, the Colorado River first began flowing down and out of the Rocky Mountains and started carving a path through the Colorado Plateau. The journey of that water over time created a great chasm in the Earth's surface, a 277-mile-long canyon that is truly a wonder to behold. Today in the Gospel, Jesus tells a parable where Abraham consoles a rich man from across the great chasm between the life that is really life and the land of the dead. From Hades, the no longer rich man without a name or without a legacy is in agony and longs for a drop of cool water from Lazarus, this poor beggar who lived, suffered, and died outside of the gate while he feasted on the best food and wine. If not water, then at least a warning, the rich man begs, a warning that Lazarus returns to tell his family about the consequences of failing to take notice of the people who are across on the other side of the divide that had been created between his own world and the poverty that was right outside of his house, beyond his front gate. Abraham teaches that sending Lazarus with a warning would do absolutely no good, because they already had a warning from Moses and the prophets about what God desires. They were just not paying attention. So too did the rich man have a warning. So too do we. We have an understanding of what God intends for those who are oppressed and hungry. And unlike the rich man and unlike Lazarus or the Pharisees, we do have someone who has risen from the dead, whose message is loud and clear and echoes throughout the scriptures time and time again. That beautiful psalm that we read together reminds us that the Lord sets the captive free, that the Lord desires that the eyes of the blind be open and lifts up those who are bound down by the weight of this world. The Lord cares for the stranger, the foreigner. The Lord sustains the orphan and even frustrates the way of the wicked and the self-absorbed. The Lord implores his people time and time again to follow suit and to close the gap, close the chasm for those who are in the greatest amount of need, for those who are suffering. But sometimes the chasms are deep, and they seem like they will never be crossed or resolved. All you have to do this day is watch the news to recognize the line that divides human beings from other human beings. It's in fact a chasm. A chasm created across political divides. A chasm created across the barrier of language, race, or belief. The chasm created by the difference between where we want to be as a society and where we are now. The chasm that's created by the many acts of violence in this world that seem so present and ever with us and unending. Maren Morris is one of my favorite vocal artists right now, and she and Vince Gill wrote a song that's been rotating through my playlist an awful lot lately. The song is called Dear Hate, and it was inspired by the Charleston shooting in 2015 and the shooting that took place at the Route 91 Harvest Festival in Las Vegas, where a gunman opened fire on a crowd during a Jason Aldean concert, killing 59 people and injuring more than 500. Maren Morris had played that festival just the day before. And out of that experience, she writes, "Dear Hate, I saw you on the news today. Like a shock, you took my breath away. You fall like rain. You cover us in drops of pain. I'm afraid that we might drown. Dear Hate, well, you sure are colorblind. Your kiss is the cruelest kind. You could poison any mind. Just look at mine. Don't know how this world keeps spinning round. You were there in the garden like a snake in the grass. I see you in the morning, staring through the looking glass. You whisper down through history and echo through these halls. But I hate to tell you, love's gonna conquer all." The power behind these lyrics came to mind in light of this parable for me because they acknowledge that the problem of division and hate are not just causes that are out there, but they're also in here and in the reflection in the mirror. And even so, Maren and the gospel boldly proclaim that love is going to conquer all. Jesus told this parable to a group of people who he acknowledges were lovers of money and were making fun of him for his teachings. It's an overt statement, a call back to God's priorities, which do not include the acquisition of wealth, but rather compassion and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness, to quote 1 Timothy. Maybe he recognized that they were in the rat race of trying to tend too much to their life in this world without any thought for who else was around them or what was before them in the life beyond. So through the eyes of a rich man that fails to notice a man suffering so profoundly that even the dogs were licking his sores, Jesus is teaching that our station in life has nothing to do with the way that God sees us and cares for us. And God always sees us. And God always cares for us. In the end, the great equalizer called death helps us to put everything into this grand perspective. On January 23rd, 1546, Martin Luther traveled to Eisleben, Germany, his hometown, to arbitrate a family dispute between two brothers, the Counts of Mansfeld. He went to be a bridge for that chasm between those brothers, to see if he could help restore a relationship, and he was successful. It took a third person being there to mediate, but he was successful, and the two reconciled. However, Luther, 62 years old and weary of the many demands on his life, fell ill during the course of that trip. And knowing the end was near, he wrote his last will and testament, which began with the words, "I am well known in heaven, on earth, and in hell." How do you like that, Martin Luther? A true statement of the result of his bold stance throughout his life and the fact that he had made many friends, but also many enemies in his preaching of the gospel. And in his last moments, Luther was asked by his friend, Justice Jonas, "Do you want to die standing firm on Christ and in the doctrine that you have taught?" He answered emphatically, "Yes." And Luther's last words were, "We are all beggars. This is true. We are, in some way, all like Lazarus, beggars outside of a gate of some kind, suffering in our own way, struggling to make a sense of the chasm that separates us from others, and even seeking to survive the chasm deep within our own hearts." Jesus teaches the Pharisees, and Jesus is teaching us to notice not only the beggar outside of our gate, but also when we have the tendencies of the rich man, when we have the tendency to fail to notice. And Jesus also encourages us to look at the teachings that bring us wholeness and healing, Moses and the prophets, but also for us the resurrection. When I think about the gospel of God's great love, I think about a river that carved out a canyon. Love has a way of helping us to notice, to carve out a path where it seems impossible to cross the bridge. Love has a way of helping us to take hold of the life that is really life and in the end conquers all. At another time in his life, Martin Luther was credited as saying, "I cannot take care of all of the beggars in all of the world, but I can tend to the one outside my gate." It's true that no one other than God can bring total healing to the broken wounds of this world. But with one act of love at a time, taking a moment to notice one moment at a time, helping one person in one small way at a time over the course of the years, this, I believe, will carve out a way in the wilderness. For in great love, Jesus Christ himself would come to be the bridge over the chasm for those Pharisees and for us. That in his suffering and death on a cross, he bridged to our own suffering, that we might find life and a resurrection more powerful, more profound, and more real than anything else that ever separates us. And through baptism, this chasm would be closed for good, and hope would be offered that the life that really is life would be ours not just after we breathe our last breath, but even now. And for that life, thanks be to God. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Mm-hmm. congregation may be seated, and I'd invite you to turn to page 227 at the front of your hymnal for the Sacrament of Holy Baptism for Corbin Allenhurst. In baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity, but by water and the Holy Spirit, we are reborn children of God and made members of the church, the body of Christ. Living with Christ and in the communion of saints, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God.
We present Corbin Allen for baptism.
Called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to have Corbin Allen baptized into Christ?
We do.
As you bring your child to receive the gift of baptism, you're entrusted with responsibilities to live with Corbin Allen among God's faithful people, to bring him to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to place in his hands the Holy Scriptures, and to nurture him in faith and prayer so that he may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world that God made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help your child grow in the Christian faith and life?
We do.
Sponsors, do you promise to nurture Corbin Allen in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and to help him live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church?
We do.
People of God, do you promise to support Corbin Allen and pray for him in his new life in Christ? Please stand as you are able. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family, and through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. In the river Jordan your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death and raise us up to live in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the power of your living word, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. Good morning. You woke up just in time. Corbin Allen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And together we say, you belong to Christ, in whom you have been baptized. Hallelujah. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Corbin Allen with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Corbin Allen, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You have been marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen.
Corbin Allen, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us welcome Corbin Allen, the newly baptized, with these words. We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission that we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. We stand together. Let us pray. Watch over the church, O God, so that we place your good news above worldly gain. Deliver us from the temptations of comfort and complacency, Lord, in your mercy. Watch over your creation, O God, especially the life-giving water that sustains us, where drought and floods make turmoil of our settled ways. Give strength for healing and rebuilding in affected communities, Lord, in your mercy. Watch over the nations, O God. Lead us away from fear and hatred. Show us instead how to welcome the stranger, give shelter to those fleeing violence, and provide food to those who are impoverished. Lord, in your mercy. Watch over those in any need. Have mercy on those who are grieving, suffering, lost, lonely, oppressed, sick, underemployed, and imprisoned, especially those for whom a candle has been lit, those on our prayer list, and those we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, watch over all caregivers. Give strength to those who attend to relatives. Serve the sick, minister to prisoners, and bring food or communion to the homebound. May they bring joy to those they visit. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks for the saints and their models of faithful living. Give us hope as we look toward the day when we will join with them in your eternal presence. Lord, in your mercy. Assured by your promise to hear us, we lay our prayers before your throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share Christ's peace with one another. All right. Let's sing to Corbin and remind him how much God loves him. Thank you. Let us pray. God, our provider, we bring nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it, except the gifts you have first given us, which we bring to your table, and with them the offering of our lives. Nourish us now with the life that is really life, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This is Christ's table. It is open to all. You may be seated. Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you always in God's grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of blessing, at this table we have seen you face to face, and in the gifts of Christ's body and blood our hearts have been refreshed. Send us now to shine with your goodness and bear witness to the one we have received, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.